Hello, everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International. And today is May the 13th, 2021. And I want to welcome everyone that's joined us and want to talk today about confidence killers and confidence boosters. So confidence is a huge part of sports performance, as you know, and welcome any of your comments by email or on the phone here, stories that you've had with your athletes. I can share some of mine with, confidence killers, meaning things that, lower our self-esteem and self-confidence, and then confidence boosters, how to raise that level. And I've been working in this field for, 30 years now as a sports psychologist and seen every kind of confidence killer I think there is, and I'm sure you have seen so many as well. So let's talk about how we can handle those issues that come up for athletes. So confidence destroyers or confidence killers, we can talk about how they come into play and the types of confidence killers, what to look for, and warning signals when you see that low self-confidence in your athletes and how to intervene with that. That's a really important thing to talk about. And so let's talk also about how does self-confidence affect performance, or self-doubt. How does that affect performance? What does that look like? And let's talk about what questions athletes can ask themselves to shift their thinking. And when you're working with an athlete, some techniques for self-doubt busting and being able to move forward. And then we can talk about qualities of self-confidence and how does that help in successful performance. And I also have developed a self-image assessment for your athletes that I'll share with you, that helps you look at their strengths as well as weaknesses and to be able to take a look at both sides and balance that kind of thinking. And we'll talk about handling self-esteem issues with your athletes, how to change an athlete's weakness into their strengths and build your athlete's confidence and self-assurance. So, and of course, that my three P's that I talk about in your Performing Edge program, positive images, powered words, present focus are always really key with intervening with athletes as well. So especially powered word phrases for your athlete confidence, we can help to develop some of those and give you some exercises for confidence and for your athletes and teams. And so if you have any questions, just let me know, and we'll get started here with confidence and the whole area, just diving into that. And, of course, our calls are always the second and fourth Thursday of the month. And so this month, it's today on May the 13th, and then also on May the 27th will be our next one, if you want to put that on your calendar as well. So we could do perhaps a part two on confidence then, too, since it's such a really important area and a big area to talk about. So confidence is, in sports, it's really vital to success. And, when you think about confident athletes, we often think about, people who've done really well and top competitors and Olympians and professional athletes and who can, perform under pressure in a sudden death playoff or situation to seal the victory. And we look at those situations. But for every game-winning hero, there's times when that same athlete's lost their confidence and couldn't perform, in the clutch or choked and lost it all, on national TV while everyone's watching. So the same thing happens. I'm working with a couple of golfers right now, and they can be playing brilliantly for one hole, and the very next hole just hit it way out of bounds or in a sand pit or into a tree and just totally lose it. So so it can, things can go up and down very quickly. And so we need to talk about that with athletes and have, help your athletes to have a strong sense of solid self-confidence so that they can rebound from whatever is happening. And even though their performance might be all over the place, their emotions don't necessarily have to be uncontrollable. They can work with those. So let me talk about some of the confidence killers that keep athletes from playing their best, keep them from playing with a confident state of mind. And just as we gain confidence from lots of sources, we can also lose confidence for many reasons. One is irrational beliefs. You know, an athlete can that can undermine performance. And those kind of things include like reliance on lucky thing, items or rituals that they might bring to athlete success. And they think, oh, I'm not able to go through the same ritual that I usually do. You know, maybe they got there later or something happened with the start of the race or the game, and so they can't go through their usual ritual, and so they just feel like, oh, okay, the game's lost, then if I can't go through this same pre-game ritual. And so they're too reliant on that, or I can't find my lucky shorts that I always wear, so thinking that they're not going to be able to perform well. So the athlete might feel like they can't succeed without these items or rituals. So that's one area to work on, and we'll work on how to deal with these in a little bit later in the call here. So that's one, but one thing you can have them do, of course, is to just rely on their inner strength and trust their training, trust their skills no matter what, regardless if they can do their rituals or their routine beforehand, because things happen sometimes and planes are late or, you know, there's traffic and you arrive at a different time or schedules get changed in the event itself, and so all that can affect performance. So for some athletes, irrational beliefs stem from their need from approval from others too, and so wanting approval, it's not all that bad unless you becomes too important, and that negativity affects the confidence. So when we care too much about how others think, then we start to wonder, well, what are others thinking? We start to mind read, you know, what are they thinking about me, just maybe from a look that someone's giving. And this happens so much with young athletes, and they're thinking, I'm not as good as this other person, or they don't like me, that kind of thing. And their focus can turn to what others are thinking about you solely to that. And in reality, we can't really know what others are thinking. So it's important to emphasize that and just to say truthfully, most people are not thinking about us that much. They're thinking about their own situation. And so we tend to overemphasize that when in fact it's like a channel on a radio, and you can change the channel or turn down the volume on that kind of thinking. And to become confident in this situation or in those kind of issues, you want to come to see that those beliefs really have no bearing on performance, that you can perform regardless of what others are thinking about you. Of course, you know, coaches, athletes are very concerned about what coaches think of them, and that is something to, you know, to address. I have an athlete right now that's 16 years old and is he's playing golf and hoping to get into a college of his choice and get a golf scholarship, and is feeling like every tournament is life or death, and it's going to make or break his professional career because he'd like to be a professional golfer. So it's whenever he knows that a coach from a college is coming, one of the recruiters is coming to watch him play, then he tightens up and feels like he can't perform as well, like everything's on the line So that's another kind of area to work with. And these athletes are under a lot of pressure. It's important to acknowledge that. But they can also realize that, you know, what I'm doing with this golfer is to tell them that the coach being there can actually enhance your performance rather than take away from it. And you can let the coach be a trigger for doing your best and saying, okay, well, here's an opportunity. I get to show them what I can do, and I can perform my best and if I want while he's watching, and that would be really great. So he was doing that and able to visualize his, just put the focus on visualizing his next shots and doing a good pre-shot routine and, you know, to look ahead to see what he could do to enhance his performance. And by doing that, he was able to relax more and then able to go ahead and do his best shot. It turns out last week, he was able to shoot his best, his lowest golf score and best performance in his whole career so far. So that was working, and so he said what I did was made him an audio visualization going over that performance, since it was a really good one, and he was able to strengthen that in his mind and let the coach become a trigger for good performance. So that's a really good thing that you can do. Change the trigger, whatever is the trigger for being worried or being anxious. You can let that same thing, that same trigger, become a signal for success and for confidence and for being able to walk right in. Another example of that, I was working with an orthopedic surgeon, first on his professional career as a doctor, and then we worked on his sports as well. And he said whenever he walked through the double doors of his operating room, the double doors became this kind of symbol for, oh, no, you know, chaos was going to happen here because the staff wasn't really supportive and they weren't working together. And so he would get really anxious and nervous about that and frustrated. And so we then turned that around so that the double doors could become a symbol for calmness and confidence, and being able to just, when he would see the double doors, he could take a couple deep breaths and say, yeah, it's going to be fine, and I know what I'm doing, and we'll get this done really well and have a good surgery experience. So, it was an orthopedic surgeon, and he was able to, performance works the same way in your work and your profession as it does in sports. And then he said, this works so well for my work as a doctor. Can we use this same technique to work on my sports as well? So you can work at these same techniques with two different areas for your athletes and also work with business people too, and also musicians, people taking tests, test taking anxiety, same thing. So that's irrational beliefs is one of the ways that a confidence killer can undermine your athlete's confidence. Another area is doubt. Self-doubts can be confidence killers, of course. And if an athlete doubts their abilities, they might tend to play hesitantly or not be willing to do certain types of things. And let's say if a basketball guard doubts his shooting ability because he's not shooting as much, he might hesitate to take shots and normally take, and he would just pass to someone else when he should take the shot. So, or if someone's has been injured or recovering, of course, you know, you're going to play hesitantly. So those doubts can lead to indecision and being unsure about what actions to take. And the problem with the doubts is it can become a regular part of an athlete's thinking and continue to undermine confidence. So learning to fight doubts will be a crucial skill regarding that confident mindset. And one exercise you can do that I often have athletes do is take a piece of paper and, you know, write your self-doubts and negative thinking on the left side of the page, and draw a line down the middle, and then on the right-hand side, write your power word statements or positive reframing. You can do it on paper, or if an athlete is more focused on doing things on the phone, you could just make two sections on a phone and do the same thing and just write it down or dictate. Dictating your thoughts is much better because then you don't tend to edit as much. You can just have a free-flowing thinking to just dictate it to the phone, and then you've got it written down, and then they could email it to you as their kind of homework assignment. So you can, like, I'm working with a 16-year-old rower right now, a kid who's on a crew team and rowing, and he's has issues with confidence and not being able to feel. He's newer in just rowing in a single boat, and he's worried about the boat tipping over, not being balanced, and not being able to go fast. And so, yeah, we talked about that, and he was saying some of his negative thoughts were things like, what am I doing here? What am I doing in this boat? You know, I'm no good at this, or I can't do this, those kind of negative thoughts. And so we had to turn that around to being able to say, I can do this, or I belong here. I am getting better every day, getting stronger every day. So being able to turn those around. And I ask him, you know, if you were to coach a friend or talk to a friend who were having the same problems, what would you tell them to say to themselves? And often they'll say, they'll come right out with all of the positive thoughts and encouragement, so that it's easy for them to talk to a friend. All of us are probably that way. So that's a really good way to get athletes to come up with some really positive encouragement. And then you can tell them, hey, if you can say this to a friend, you can say it to yourself. And it could be just as powerful. And realize yourself, you're your own best friend. And you can coach yourself with this. You can become your own, have your own inner coach. So self-doubts is a big area. And another exercise you could do with that, with self-doubts, is to take a piece of paper, give them a homework assignment to write the statement, I feel strong when, and then fill in the blank, and do about five or ten of those. I feel strong when, and write down, fill in that blank. Maybe I feel strong when I'm prepared mentally and physically, or I feel strong when I get to the event early enough to practice early, and I feel strong when I know that I've got my skills in order, and I've practiced the skills to where I know exactly what I'm doing. Those kind of things to write down. And then you write down in the second section, I feel weak when. I feel weak when, and fill in the blank. So it might be, I feel weak when I'm just not, so I don't feel prepared, or feel weak when I haven't practiced enough during the week. Feel weak when I'm not getting enough sleep. Of course, those are valid concerns, and so then you can help the athlete to address those and find out why they're, what the issue is, why they're not getting enough sleep. And of course, you can make them a visualization audio around that, just around sleep, you know, being able to relax at nighttime and being able to go and calm themselves down before sleep. So that's a couple of things. Confidence comes with irrational beliefs and self-doubts. The good news is these confidence killers can be killed themselves, I say, and it's a matter of being able to modify our thinking to get our minds back to those things and to help regain confidence. And we can fight those self-doubts and fears, and we can get back to our confidence sources. So just to use some other examples of confidence killers are unrealistic demands. There are confidence killers that many that come from perfectionist thinking usually, and so many athletes are perfectionists. They're often high achievers who have very high expectations for themselves, and they cite so high that often they can never be good enough to please themselves. And they often have a hard time giving themselves credit for the success that they have actually achieved. So that inner critic inside eventually starts to erode their confidence. And often these athletes are really good and perform really well in practice. But they are doing a lot of self-damage to their self-confidence and self-image. So it's important to, with a person who's got, who is a perfectionist, of course you can't change that completely, but what you can do is you can help keep it in check. You can manage that tendency better so that you can say, well, ask them, you know, what would be a perfect performance? What would be just a good performance? What would be acceptable? So have different levels that they can look at. And so that it doesn't have to be an all, just only one level of performance. And so another confidence killer is that all or none thinking, kind of, I have to win the gold medal or else I'm a failure. You know, Olympic athletes will say, or a high school athlete will say, we have to win this championship or it's not worth it. Or I have to run a certain time or else I'm not able to, you know, why should I even go on? That kind of thing. And they can only see the performance as all good or all bad and can't keep can't give themselves credit for partial success. So that's a new term that you can introduce for your athletes, partial success or moving towards success. And our inner critic can take over our thinking and our confidence. It can really, let that critical voice rule, it can put negative labels on ourselves, like, I'm weak, or I'm a wimp, I can't do this, I'm a loser, I'm a choker, all of those kind of things. And so you have to, it'd be good to ask your athletes, what kind of labels are you putting on yourself? And ask, if you don't keep that in check, then the inner critic can do a lot of damage there. So, because that negative self-talk degrades confidence. So asking yourself, what kind of, if you do put a label on yourself, put something that's that works for you, that's positive. I am a athlete who works hard. I'm improving steadily. It's better to talk about behaviors rather than just labels, because labels are something that's really stagnant and stationary. So it's better to have something that is something that is movable. It's moving toward your goal. So unrealistic demands is from perfectionistic thinking is another confidence killer, along with self-doubts and irrational beliefs. And then we've got all or none thinking that we were talking about, that if you can have athletes rate their performance 1 to 10 rather than it's a success or failure, it can be helpful. And rate them not only on Like, for instance, with golf, you know, all they're looking at is the score. Or with runners, all they're looking at is the time. Basketball players, how many points are they getting? But there's many ways to rate your performance with rating your confidence level 1 to 10. How confident was I in this workout? How focused was I in the workout, rate 1 to 10? How positive was my mindset in this game or in this race? So rate the mental aspects. And how was my effort level? That's really key, because that's what we have control over. The most important thing that we have control over is our effort level and our attitude. So rating those things is key. And then asking, how can I improve in these areas? So let me tell you about another confidence killer now, is dwelling on errors. And that can kill our confidence because it takes the focus off what we need to do next. And you're usually thinking about just what happened before that and how I messed up. And so we continue to regret and replay the last mistake. And yet the game goes on. And what happens is when you do that, is you're replaying the mistake, so your mind follows those mental instructions. And with the next shot or the next part, you'll end up telling your brain, okay, we played this way the last shot, so this is how we're going to play the next shot. And you can tend to replay the mistake. So even though you're playing you're on the motion of the current play, your mind is on the last shot, and it's killing your confidence and ability to play at that moment, play your best at that moment. So that unrealistic demands and perfectionistic thinking and dwelling on mistakes, that can all lead to that ultimate degrading of confidence and leads to fear of failure. So, you know, like if an athlete's a skier and you have a fear of falling, then you, you're desiring to not look bad instead of playing to win or playing for fun. And so then you get, you know, it leads to tension and anxiety, which can lead to a really tentative play or being hesitant. So that fear of failure often manifests itself in choking and just playing not to lose. You know, the biggest, like with public speaking, that's one of the biggest fears all of us have. Even it's rated higher than the fear of death because public speaking is something where you're in front of a whole bunch of people and we all don't want to be embarrassed or look bad or look stupid. And so that's something that is a big fear. But, of course, the good news is that all of these confidence killers can be addressed. And since we often undermine our confidence with our own negative or perfectionistic or fearful thinking, we can also turn our confidence around with the power of our mind. So we can fight fears and unrealistic demands, and we can use effective positive thinking to regain confidence and gain that confident edge. So just to review the ones that we talked about, the confidence killers with irrational beliefs and self-doubts, and I'll send you these in an email as well to review. And there's unrealistic demands that comes from perfectionistic thinking. And then all or none thinking, and dwelling on errors, dwelling on the past. And that comes, what you can really use with that is, of course, the present focus, that third P of your performing edge, and be here now. Just focus on what's happening right now, as opposed to trying to dwell on the mistake that we just had, or often that leads to worrying about the future. Sort of mind traveling, I call it. You're going into the past, you're going into the future, and saying, "Oh, what is this? What ramifications does this have for my life here?" And so you can, you know, be overthinking all of that. That's one of the biggest complaints that I have, that I've seen that athletes have is when they come in, is overthinking, thinking, and that's kind of compiles all of these things together that we're talking about here. So we can talk about some, a few of the things that you, solutions and things that your athletes can do this time, and also we'll talk about that next time as well, because confidence and positive image, self-image and optimism, they're all key factors in determining how you view an athletic challenge and how you transform it into a powerful performance. And developing that realistic, healthy self-image, that's the foundation for success in sports. And so you can tell your athletes, you know, once you, and you can be a sample example for this yourself, tell your athletes stories about how you overcame something and regained your confidence. Once you know yourself well and you're confident in your abilities, then you're well on your way to realizing your goals. And self-confidence gives you the ability to create and sustain an optimal performance state regardless of the external conditions. So I think sometimes, you know, looking at some champions, often they have a strong, unwavering belief in themselves and their ability to perform well. And it seems like their confidence is so deep, it's almost indestructible, but many times there is that up and down factor in sports. And the good news is that confidence, like just like discipline and courage and commitment, they're all part of a constellation of skills that are learned and not inherited. So it's really important to tell your athletes that it's not, you know, you don't just have talent or you don't have talent or you have what it takes or you don't have what it takes. It's, these are all skills that can be learned and can we can improve. And that's why this, our sports psychology coaching, this whole field, performing edge coaching, is so important and so needed, so vital right now, because athletes have, there's all these skills just waiting for your athletes to learn. And you can encourage them. And once you do, the wonderful thing is you're not just training them in sports. You're training them to use these skills in their school, for their families, for their interactions with people, for everything in life. And so with practice, they can become part of your skill set. So that self-image is what we're working on here, that foundation of successful performance and self-esteem and self-image, they're really essential for performing well. And so we have the ability to form an identity and then attach a value to it. That's what differentiates us from other animals, is just our awareness of ourselves. And we can form this identity, and we define ourselves by certain standards, and then we decide if we like ourselves. And that struggle, it often occurs when we have, you know, the problem is we have that self-judgment. We're too often judging ourselves or criticizing, rejecting ourselves for a poor performance in a race or a game, and find ourselves avoiding anything that brings on that pain of that rejection. So taking fewer risks, like we were talking about. But the good news is that we can, you can learn to stop those, making those judgments, and direct your energies toward more confident and constructive self-image. You can change how you feel about yourself. It's amazing how we can do this, and you can learn to recognize those positive qualities, and you can acquire an attitude of acceptance toward yourself and others. And once your perceptions change, once you can get your athlete to change their perception or their idea of themselves, then they're going to see improvements and in their training and in every part of life, and gradually have that sense of kind of inner freedom to explore things. So one thing I did with in developing your Performing Edge book and the program was I developed an assessment, a self-image assessment. I use this all the time with athletes and with anyone who's working on their performance. So I just wanted to share that with you here. And this is a simple tool you can use. It's important to do that kind of honest self-inquiry to determine your strengths and your weaknesses and to kind of generate an objective picture of the real you, the way you see yourself and your athletic performance and performance in life. So it allows people to kind of look at themselves in the mirror a little bit and then just recognize weaknesses and strengths. So, and then you can tell your athlete the reason we're doing this is to be able to build on your strengths and turn your weaknesses into strengths and powers. So you can ask them first to create a list of strengths and assets. So give them an assignment to say, list your attributes, your physical attributes, and first, your accomplishments. That's usually the first easiest one for athletes to look at is the physical attributes first in all areas, like your, and then, like if they might be strong or they might be fast or they might be tall or something that helps them to be a good athlete. Or if they can't think of any physical attributes, that's okay. You can just say, the basics of most people can move, can, have, are physically healthy, can have good arms and legs to be able to carry out their sport. And then talk about, you can have them assess their character strengths, which is really a key area for our mental training, qualities that you appreciate in yourself. Like your focus and your courage, your ability to bounce back, your resilience, all those kind of things. So rate your, or look at your mental, your physical, emotional, your characteristics, your accomplishments, the things that you're proud of. Maybe some people have really good friends, or they might have gone through really difficult times and got through that okay. And have them list those kind of things, and also list what you enjoy. Maybe you could have them, and they could say something like, "I have a strong drive to perform well," or to improve, or "I'm an easy person to get along with," talk about their personality. "I have a strong character," "I'm well-rounded." The nice thing about this self-assessment, it's not just a list of questions where it's just yes or no, but it's more open-ended, so you can have them just write down their strengths. And or you could do this by writing, or you could also do it by an interview or just in a session, just to have them talk about that. If you're doing calls during the pandemic here, we're doing lots of calls by Zoom or by phone, so you can just ask them to talk about their strengths. Ask them, what makes you a good athlete? That's always a good one to start with. And then they can talk about both the physical attributes and mental attributes. And then ask, what makes you a good person? I'm working with one guy right now who's an athlete and also a doctor. So I said, Bill, a dermatologist. So I said, what makes you a good doctor, a good dermatologist? And he could talk about those qualities and how that transfers over, how he can use those skills to look at his athletics as well. So his ability to make it through medical school, to be, of course, to be a perfectionist is there, and to be really competitive and driven and focused and able to get through tremendous amounts of hard work, really strong work ethic. So all that has really contributed to his success and personality as a doctor, and then he can use those in his sports, in his tennis that he's working on as well. So take a look at those accomplishments and characteristics and strengths in all areas of life. You can ask them about their family life as well, and their academic career, and anything else that they feel good about. And then the second step, so create a list of strengths and assets, and the second one is identify qualities that you'd like to improve. So things like look for areas of self-improvement. And you want to take care to only use accurate, non-judgmental descriptions. So think about your sports performance and your personal and work life and general personality characteristics. So you might say, you know, an example might be, I lose focus halfway to the finish line. Something like that would be, you know, an accurate, maybe an objective statement about your, you know, about a person's weakness. Be careful that they don't use negative labels, global labels like I'm a loser or I can't do this or I give up too easily, or, you know, those are, it can be really harsh and difficult judgmental statements. But instead have them just look at more specific kinds of things that they could improve. Like, I'd like to improve my focus halfway through a race or a game. So I'm making statements like that. But think of it as areas for improvement as opposed to just weaknesses. So that's first list the strengths and then qualities you'd like to improve. And then consider you know, negative attitudes that might hinder performance. And I'll send these to you too. You know, things like, do you frequently use statements, self-statements that undermine your self-image? Like, you know, and I'm rather than just putting yes or no, you could put one as definite no to 10 as a definite yes. Different phrases like self-condemnation. You might say, I tend to have bad luck, or always something always goes wrong. I do well in my training, but not in competitions. That's so common. Just about every athlete says that. I do well in practice, but when I lose it in a competition, or I keep making the same mistakes in my training. So those kind of things are, they could be objective, but sometimes we tend to say those things too much, and it becomes self-condemnation. Or statements like poor self-confidence, my competition is so much better than me, I'm too old, I'm too slow, I'm too short, too overweight, not prepared for this event. So those are things that where we're maybe comparing to other people, we're not feeling adequate. And then there's statements like fear from, that come from fear. I'm afraid I'm not going to get any better. When the pressure's on, I know I'll mess up. I'm afraid I'll make stupid mistakes. So those are things that to be careful of. And have athletes be aware of those things and then be able to manage that. And then perfectionism, of course, I won't live up, I won't live up to the high standards I set for myself, or I'm never confident with my performance. So that's a one area that you can't change a person's perfectionism totally, but you can, you learn to, I mean, I'm doing that now, working with a athletes who are, have that perfectionism, and will say, you know, after a bad shot, oh, this is the stupidest thing. I'm a loser. I can't do this. And we'll just give up if they hit one bad shot. But to be able to say, okay, people hit bad shots and good shots, and I can move on from this, and it's okay, and not be an athlete that's able to feel he's not as himself now as he used to be, and he can recover from those shots just by saying, okay, just I hit a bad shot, just move on. It's going to be okay. So you can help people to recover from those. It'd be I guess you could call it recovering perfectionist, but or at least be a little gentler and kinder on themselves and say, okay, let's just look for the next shot here. And then some other things that people might say to themselves, a lack of competitive spirit, You know, I can't get, like I said, having trouble with motivation. I can never get psyched up for an event. I don't have a killer instinct. I give up too easily in critical points in competition. I wimp out on important competitions. So that's something that some athletes have an issue with, if they have that motivation problem. So it's good to identify those. And then anger and blame is an area that's it's important to identify. I get so angry with myself, I can't focus on what I have to do, or I get mad at things I can't control, like the weather, the competition, the traffic. And then one other area that you might want to assess is racing mind, you know, a mind that just gets, that goes too fast, where an athlete might say, I try to recall everything I've learned, but it's all jumbled in my mind. When I get to my events, I can't relax. I'm thinking of 10 things at once. So that's all important to address as well. So those are some of the things in the self-assessment form that I've developed that you can, and you could add things to it yourself if you like too. And you could be, and there, I have a couple other questions on there as well, like with confidence, do you have a high expectation you'll be doing your best in training and competition? And do you get excited about the idea of accepting a challenge? Do you have feelings of strength and being in control? Are you satisfied with your level of performance? Those are all good questions to ask your athletes as well, to get, you know, get to really what they're thinking inside. So I wanted to share that with you, and next time we'll meet on the 27th and the next and the fourth Thursday of the month, and we'll talk about different ways that people can change their weaknesses into strengths, into things that they want, and we can talk about techniques for enhancing. I shared a lot with you today, but also some more techniques for enhancing your self-confidence and your self-image, like some self-acceptance, how to accept who you are from what you've achieved. And we can talk more about awareness of those subtle degrading statements and how to be aware and then change those. And then I'll help you with how you can choose, help your athletes to choose a positive quality that you want to develop. And then share also some power word statements I've developed for to be able to really build on their strengths and be able to feel, identify strengths and build on those and get even stronger inside. So, yeah, I wanted to just thank you, everyone, for joining me today and for all our regular members, Anna L. in France and Dave up in Utah and June in Texas and John in Omaha in Nebraska and many of the others of you who are on the call as well and part of our program here. And then you can go to our the website, performingedgecoach.com to look at more of the resources there. And I'll also send this replay to you shortly. And then we'll do our part two for this self-confidence series here in 2 weeks on Thursday the 27th, 9 a.m. Pacific time, and 12 at noon. And so, yeah, I just want to thank you for, it's such an honor to work with you, as always, and I'll send this out to you shortly. And if you have any questions or any requests for topics that you'd like me to cover, then just send those to me in an email, and we'll include those in our next upcoming call here. So thank you so much. Great talking with you all today, and I'll talk to you next time on the May 27th. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye now.